In my presentation today, I'm going to take you through how mobile technology has improved the supply chain visibility and commodity availability in Tanzania. In this presentation, I don't have any relationships to disclose. In my presentation outline, I'll take you through the system overview and challenges that have been encountered in Tanzania. I'll take you through the proposed solution that we came up with, the technology that was used to build the solution, and the anticipated challenge and impact. So in Tanzania, as Nuran has mentioned, can you hear me? Okay. In Tanzania, as Nuran has mentioned, we have almost 4 existing vertical programs. So for this particular system that I'm going to share with you today, it's known as integrated logistics system, whereby it allows the healthcare workers to order their essential medicines and some of the 2 programmatic commodities into a single set of procedures. So with this particular system, which is the integrated logistics system, ILS, it's a paper-based system. It's a quarterly system whereby the healthcare workers place their orders for those commodities that I mentioned on a quarterly basis, and the total number of commodities that are in that particular form is 150 commodities. The system itself is a pool system, and in logistics, when we say pool system, we have 2 types of existing systems, pool system and push system. This system itself is a pool system, whereby the healthcare workers determine their quantities that they need for their next resupply based on their consumption. And the way the system has been designed, because we have almost 6,000 plus health facilities, those health facilities have been staggered into 3 different groups, groups of A, B, and C's. It's a quarterly ordering system, but they don't just rush any time to do the ordering. Those that are in group A, they order in the first month, group B the second month, and group C the third month. So in a year, they have to place their orders 4 times. So with this existing system, the rollout of the system started in 2005. By 2009, the entire country was implementing the system. In the beginning of 2010, we performed an assessment to see how the system was performing. And then from the assessment, we identified that there were several challenges that the facilities are encountering. Some of these challenges were there was increased stockouts of essential medicines, there was lack of adherence of those reporting groups that I just explained earlier, the ABC cycles, there was absence of facility level data for people to make decisions because it's all paper based. So the forms, the orders will move, I mean the requests will move from the health facility to the district level and then to the medical stores department, and that's where they end. They don't go up to the regional level, to the central level, so no one will have any logistics information to make any decisions. If someone would want information from those forms, they have to travel in those 9 different medical stores department that Nuran mentioned, the different hubs, so to get the information. So that was a big challenge. Another challenge that was obtained from this assessment from the system itself, there was lack of supportive supervision conducted to these health facilities. So with those existing challenges, there were a number of challenges, but at least JSI, in collaboration with Ministry of Health, they had to sit down now and brainstorm, okay, this is a good way to go. It's a pool system, but then there are lots of challenges that are going around the system. So what is it that we have to do to ensure that the system is at least improving? So we came up, we brainstormed as a group together, and we realized that, okay, maybe we can make use of mobile phones to ensure that we overcome some of the challenges. Might not be all of them, but at least to eliminate some of the challenges. So the mobile solution that we came up with is known as ILS Gateway. This ILS Gateway is a mobile health alert and reporting system. It was designed specifically to support and strengthen the integrated logistics system, which is the paper-based system. So with this ILS Gateway mobile system, we thought that there would be an expanding accessibility and visibility of the logistics data, and there will be more people using the system to make informed decisions. So the objectives of ILS Gateway basically was to improve the stock status information, to have real-time stock status information. Another one was to improve the paper-based ordering and reporting. Also to confirm deliveries of the health facilities, because that was also a challenge. You wouldn't know when the facilities received their commodities. And another thing was to also monitor the regularity of supervisions that is being performed from different levels high up to the health facilities. So the technology itself, how is this ILS Gateway built? The ILS Gateway system has been built on top of a Rapid SMS, which is an open source platform, whereby it allows the people at the health facilities to use their own personal mobile phones to send data to a short free code of 15018. The way it works, we have almost like 4 to 5 mobile operators in Tanzania. So we don't limit what the mobile operators should use. We just have them use whatever that they want to use, and the one that has a great connectivity, has a great coverage in their specific areas. So with that, we get messages from different mobile operators. Those messages are being aggregated and then analyzed in a web database, and then later on displayed on a web interface, which is www.ilsgateway.com. So the way it works really is just the people who are at the lower level, the healthcare workers, they use their mobile phones to send different information to the system on a monthly and quarterly basis. And then the people who are at the district level, the regional level, and higher up the level, they can access that information by going through the web interface and, you know, through the use of the dashboards and all that, they have that information to, they can have that information to make various decisions. So how do people use the information obtained from the ILS Gateway? Basically, they just log on to the web interface, and then on monthly basis, because that's when the healthcare workers report to the system. And from this dashboard, they can get information on report and request submission status, so they can know if a person is accessing the system at the district level, they can view their district, see how many people submitted their reports, how many were supposed to submit the reports, how many didn't submit, and so those kind of information. A person who is at the central level, they can have an overview of that at countrywide. If it's a regional level, then they can only review the regional level itself. They can also see the visibility of product availability. So from there, you can know, okay, what is overstock, what is understocked, what is stocked out, and things like that. They can also see the summary of the deliveries when the healthcare workers receive their deliveries, and they can also monitor the lead time duration that it takes from the time when the healthcare workers report to the time when they receive their deliveries. The ILS Gateway as well also has the capability of producing reports in form of GIS. So with this type of reports, really the people at the district level who are directly linked to the health facilities can make decisions regarding redistribution. So it's easier to see, okay, which facility is overstocked, which one is understocked, where should I move my commodities, and so forth. So basically, in Tanzania, we have, at the moment, we have 3 major systems. The first system that we have is ILS Gateway, which is the one that I'm just talking about. It's a mobile health system. The second one that we have is ELMIS, which Nuran and Wendy just explained. And the third system that we have is the EPICO 9 system, which is used at the warehouse level. It's a warehouse management system. So with these 3 systems, they're not operating in a silo. They communicate to each other. So the ILS Gateway is just an early warning system. It doesn't cover everything, just some few tracer commodities. With ELMIS, this is a system that will be a paper-based system which will cover all the category of medicines, and people will have visibility of everything through the ELMIS. And then the EPICO 9 is a system that is used at the warehouse to manage the different informations in the warehouse. So basically, these systems will be communicating with each other. People who will be responding to ILS Gateway, if someone gets access to ELMIS, they get everything in one app. ELA mice will be connected to E9, the EPICO 9. So information will be moved. The quantities that are supposed to be resupplied will go to EPICO 9, and what EPICO 9 has shipped, the information will come back to ELMIS. So anyone accessing the ELMIS, we also have that information. If they want to have a visibility of product availability before they do their ordering, those facilities, then they can also have that visibility to see what is it that the warehouse has, or do they have limited, then I can change, do substitutions and things like that. So these three systems will be communicating with each other. So the current status of ILS Gateway, the rollout of ILS Gateway began in last year in July. The process is still ongoing. To date, we have already covered 3,499 health facilities. We're expecting to cover the entire country by next year in March. At the moment, the healthcare workers are only reporting to 20 identified tracer commodities. These are the commodities that were identified by Ministry of Health for those essential items. So out of 150 commodities that are being reported in the integrated logistics system, they chose just 20 commodities to have a visibility of those commodities on a monthly basis to see what the stock status is like and everything. We're also looking forward at the moment, we're working on enhancing the system more to improve the functionalities and also to ensure that other commodities are being captured as well. Because at the moment it's just essential medicines, but the two other programmatic commodities do not have any tracer commodities that they can monitor on a monthly basis. So the ongoing and anticipated impact that we are expecting from this system is there's been an increased reporting rates and timeliness and adherence to reporting groups. Because on a monthly basis, facilities receive a text message in their mobile phone telling them it's time for you to report, submit your report. So with that, they would adhere to their ABC reporting groups. There have been an expanded accessibility and visibility of logistics data at all different levels of the supply chain. Before, there was no visibility of information. You have to specifically travel to a place, 9, 12 hours, get the information, sit down, get those other papers, put them into one sheet, and then try to make decisions from there. But with this system, you just get into the system, get the reports, pull the reports, and you can make decisions just from one click. There's also been an increased accountability, transparency, and responsibility. Before, facilities would complain a lot. Medical stores departments do not keep stock of the commodities. While in real sense, they didn't even place an order. So how would they ship the commodities without them having an order? So with this system, you see, okay, did you really submit your order? Yes, you did submit your order on time. Have you received your consignment? No. Okay, then we have to blame MST, not the facility. But then, did you submit your order? You didn't submit your order. Then, sorry, we have to blame you. Submit your order first to get your resupplies. So there's been an improvement in that part. There is no way now people are blaming each other. We track that and see where exactly the problem is. There's also been an improved quality of data for upstream logistics functions such as quantification and intervention planning. Before, we'll just rely on issues data from MSD, but at least with this system, for the few commodities, we have a visibility of the consumption information, and we can quantify by using this consumption information for future needs. So what are the lessons learned? We learned that since we engaged the Ministry of Health throughout the process, the system, we believe that the system has really been owned by the government very well, and they're really supporting the system. And that is because we initiated them from the beginning of the process. We also ensure that we didn't want to create a parallel system just for the mobile phone, but then we wanted this system to be built on top of what is existing to try and, you know, they can blend each other to see, okay, if this is how it's supposed to be, they're working on ABC, then even the mobile technology that we are going to apply, it has to be on the same process. Another thing that we thought that was a good thing that some of you who are interested in applying this technology should think of is do not limit users on the mobile on the mobile operator that they should use, because coverage differs from one area to another. So it should just leave them decide on what they want to use depending on the coverage. We also learned that building the system in an open source platform, it has really reduced the cost of it, and it has made it more sustainable. That's all. Thank you.
So we have like maybe 5 minutes to take some running questions, or I don't know if you prefer talking to, you know, like individually, maybe like in the next 5-10 minutes to ask specific questions. So yes.
Hi, I'm Dan Gerandes from the National Library in Kentucky. I have two questions. One, what are you doing to build human research platforms and maintain the system and train people to use it? And the other question is, are you communicating with your mind at all?
So it's for this, yeah.
Is that for the ELMIS or for ILS Gateway or for either? For all of them. Okay. So I'll answer the human resource issue. Human resource is always a challenge. Maybe I'll set up. So this is always the challenge. Can everybody hear me? Or do I?
Yeah.
It's a challenge anywhere you go in any of these developing countries. And one of the biggest things that we've done, and our largest budget really, is placed on training. And so training the health information systems officers at the provincial and the district levels so that they can be able to understand the system, provide the tier one level of maintenance for the system, and actually train others. So the whole idea is just training and training more people as much as possible, and that's where how we can have the system supported. But for the users, it goes back again to training, because you'll have a user in a health post or a health center, then they leave and they're transferred somewhere else, and then there's a gap. So one of the things that we've been thinking of is how we can actually, to reduce the cost of training, is have the training on the system. So you have, I forget the name of what we're calling it, but it's just a user could actually go on their own and learn the system from just logging onto the ELMIS. The other as well is design the system to be really simple that it doesn't require somebody to learn to be trained so much. So just like when you go to Facebook or to Amazon, you don't really need a manual to learn how to use Facebook or YouTube for that matter. So we've tried to build the system and design the system in a way that it's really user-friendly. It goes on what the business processes that they're trained on in the manual system. So this is what we're doing. It's very hard to get more people, and so human resources is always going to be a challenge. We'll be trying as much as possible to train as many people. Yeah.
Maybe just to also add, as Professor Mark Wendy has mentioned, there's a lot of on-job training that is also being performed. So there is the formal training, and then there is the on-job training. So in each of these regions and districts, there are district pharmacists and regional pharmacists. And in each of those areas, you also have advisors, JFI advisors, who work hand in hand with those pharmacists in those areas. So with that, they're able to identify facilities that experience problems, and then they perform on-job training to those facilities. So it's like ongoing thing. It doesn't stop. So on a monthly basis, it's something that it happens. Depending on what they submit and what you review, then from there you identify what facilities require support.
Maybe two of you,
Thank you. Thanks very much for the presentation. I thought it was very interesting. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on how ILF and ELMIF relate to each other, because it seems to me that the ELMIS would actually, at one point in time, take over the LO of the ILS gateway. And then also, could you tell us a little bit about how much it cost? You said the development actually took place for the ELMIS over a 3-year period, and that you used agile processing instead of waterfall as a way of ensuring that the requirements were better suited to the needs of the users. That, if you could just elaborate in terms of what were the cost, both from the number of people that needed to be involved. government can then maintain those costs. The developer costs for open source software are often significant, while the licensing costs are insignificant.
Thank you. So to answer to your first question, the IS Gateway is just an early warning system. It's a mobile self-alert reporting system. It doesn't take into account other commodities. It's just future commodities that have been selected by Ministry of Health that they cannot tolerate to have those commodities out of stock. Because now the country's ordering system is a quarterly basis. By the time a person hits the stockout, you come to realize that it's already 3 months have passed. But with ILS Gateway, it's a monthly based reporting system. So they report on their stock on hand for those 20 commodities on a monthly basis. So if you realize there is a stock up, then it's very easy for people to work and do redistribution or try to supply for that particular facility that is experiencing a stock up. So with time, really the big system, we're expecting it to be ELMIS, because it will replace the paper-based system, and then it will have the visibility of all the 150 commodities. That's for the few programmatic managed commodities. And of course, the other two programmatic managed commodities that are not having that visibility. So that's the difference there. They still want to maintain the two systems because this one is mobile, this one is, it's like replacing the paper-based system. And this, the mobile system is the healthcare workers themselves reporting on what they have on a monthly basis, what they've lost on the monthly basis, what they've received on a monthly basis.
And then maybe just to add a little bit more on that one. So in the ELMIS, one of the things that we're going to have is like a dashboard. So basically, ELMIS will be able to see the entire thing, the entire system for all the number of items that are being managed. And for ILS Gate, so you'll be able to see like ILS Gate will be giving like a monitoring and evaluation mechanism. So if you just want to narrow down and see maybe for 20 commodities in a specific program, then you just go to the ELMIS, view the dashboards, and then the ILS Gateway data, you'll be able to see them in the ELMIS dashboard. Yeah, and then Wendy here will talk about the cost.
So to the total cost to build the ILS Gateway, really, we can look for those figures later and share that with you. But to maintain the system on a monthly basis, it's around $4,000 on a monthly basis for the entire country. Exactly. And before they share the cost of the ELMIS, I just like to add one more thing on where we still feel want to maintain the two systems. The ILS Gateway also, it acts as a reminder to the health facilities for them to respond. Because that was the biggest challenge. They couldn't adhere to the A, B, and C groups. A quota would pass without a facility placing their order. So with the ILS Gateway mobile system, they get an alert telling them, it's time for you to report, submit your report. It says for 3 days, they haven't reported, it tells them again, it's time for you to report, submit the report. So really, it does more than just stock availability, just improving or monitoring the stock availability. It monitors the entire system.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we'll take your question, the last question.
Have you seen any impact of this ELMIS on your supply transportation system?
So the ELMIS is just currently being rolled out. We just completed development a couple of months ago, went through 2 months of testing. We completed training in Zambia on Friday, just before I got on a flight. And so the system literally just got launched on Monday, yesterday. So. For Tanzania, they completed their training.
It's still ongoing. Yeah.
So we cannot measure impact. I mean, we have an impact study that we've been working with our M&E teams. So we have a baseline study of, you know, what's currently happening with the manual processes. And then we hope in 3 months, the M&E teams will go out and assess in 6 months, 18 months, 2 years, and start to really measure the impact. And you can't see that right now. I mean, it'll at least take a couple of months before you can tell. But one of the things that we know right away is that reports will now be, errors in the reports will be reduced, and they'll be much faster to access. Oh, two. I don't think she answered the cost. We answered the cost for ELMIS. To date, and that's development operations training costs, we've spent about $1.2 million, and this is over a 3-year period. So you can imagine consultants, developers, project managers. It's a really big group of people. Would you like to say your number of people who have actually been working on the system? But our largest budget, allocated budget, is actually training. So 40% of our budget is going to training. And then 20% of our budget is going to recruitment, and we want to maintain it at about currently $2,000 to $3,000 per facility, the first rollout, the first time, so that we can have them to have all their computers, internet, everything set up for them to actually use the system. So naturally, it's going to cost a lot in the first, you know, year of implementing the system, but what we hope is after that, now that, you know, you really won't have any licensing costs, it's really just your internet costs every month, which are pretty low, then the system just gradually should get cheaper for them as compared to the manual system, where if you compute the amount of or how much it costs them to actually print out the requisition forms, the order forms, to actually mail those in using the courier services, it's so much more than what this will be. So one of the other things we'll be doing is a cost, an impact of how much is it, you know, when you compare paper-based versus the ELMIS. So last one was number of people. We have developers in India, we have developers in Ethiopia, we have developers in the country. So that's about a team of, in Zambia alone, we have a team of about 10 people working with the ELMIS. That is between the testers, the project manager, business analyst, technical writer, graphic designer, and developers. In Ethiopia, there are 3 developers. In the BC team, we have a project lead and a technical lead, and a software developer. And then India, really, ThoughtWorks, who is the company that did this for us. There, I think we have 4 development pairs, so about 8 people are developing the software. And yeah, that's pretty much the number of people who are working on this. And like we said earlier, a lot of people, donors and governments, and have been involved to try and make this work. That way, right now, Tanzania and Zambia are bearing the large burden of paying for this, but the next country that comes really is going to have very often, yeah.